Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Terry. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Are you ready to study the Word? Pastor Steve is coming to take us into that journey of through Genesis. Bless you tonight as you study the Word.
Thank you, Pastor. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to be with you all. Even if we can't be in person, again, I appreciate the opportunity to even virtually be able to dive into the Word with you. Before we do that, just want to mention something that we're going to offer next week. Next week, we close out our series on Genesis, of exploring Genesis. And so we're going to give you the option, if you don't hear this on Sunday, you at least hear it right now, but we're going to give you the option if you want to be, if you want to come in and be a part of that last session. We're just going to get started right at 7 like we do. If you want to just slip in, find a seat away from everybody else, we throw it out to you. You know, if you are tired of being behind your computer and you want to come in and come into the sanctuary and be a part of our live streaming of this last session of Exploring Genesis, then we encourage you to do that. You know, feel free. Come here. A door will be open to come in the church and just slip in, find a seat or anywhere in the sanctuary. And again, you probably won't hear that on Sunday, but we just give you those, you know, give to you, those who are listening tonight, that option if you want to be a part. So I just wanted to mention that before I get started here. Make sure my TV's going. I want to ask you a question as we get into session 11 of Exploring Genesis. Again, we're going to be in chapters 37 through 47, but before we get into that, just want to ask you a question. Have you ever played a game? And I'm sure you played a game, but this game. Have you ever been asked the question that if you were stranded on a deserted island, what is the one item that you would want with you? Right, I'm sure you've been asked that. I'm sure you've been around with friends or your kids and asked that question. It's always interesting that the conditions are the same. It's always a deserted island, but the answers that you get from people vary quite a bit. Everybody has an opinion on what is essential. For example, one survey I found online, when they asked that question, what's the one item that you would take if you were stranded on a deserted island, and the number one answer was a pet, was their pet. Out of everything, right, that's the one item that they would take with them. And if you're a hardcore survivalist, you watch Bear Grylls, and all those guys, you probably say, well, water, I would take flint, I would take a Swiss Army knife. I know you probably already have the one item or the 10 ranked in order of which ones that you would take if you had the opportunity. And really the whole purpose of the exercise is to identify the essential things we would need to survive in harsh conditions, right? Those essential things that we have to have if we are going to survive living in harsh conditions. And really when it comes to Christianity, we can ask the exact same question. What are the essential things that we need as Christians living out, following God, following Jesus, in this world that can sometimes have harsh conditions? What are the things that we need to not just survive, but to thrive, right? Because really, that's the key. The key is not to just survive, it's to thrive, it's to grow. And tonight, as we get into Genesis 37 through 47, that's really some of the things that we see. The last 14 chapters of Genesis that we'll get to, 10 tonight, and then the rest next week. In the last 14 chapters of Genesis, the focus shifts to Jacob and his sons, and in particular, one son, right? The focus shifts to Joseph. So you can say when you crunch the numbers, that really a quarter, 25% of the book of Genesis focuses on Joseph. So there's a lot that we can learn. Again, 10 chapters, there's a whole bunch that we're not going to get to tonight in 30 minutes. But again, one of the things when we start to look at Joseph is Joseph knew what it was like to live in harsh conditions, right? I mean, he knew it. He knew what it was like. And so what's captivating about his story is that it isn't just a story about surviving. It's a story of thriving. Each and every stop along his journey, God blessed him. He thrived. You know, he was promoted. And so there's some tons of life lessons. But the kind of angle that we're going to go with tonight is, what can we pull out from his story that we see are the essential things to follow God? So as we walk through Genesis 37 through 47, I'm going to highlight four. Again, there's a lot more than four. And again, I'm not going to be able to go through each and every detail of the story. We're going to kind of, you know, just hit the surface of it. But again, we see some essential things that we need to live our lives following God, standing firm, not compromising, following Jesus, becoming like him, right? There's essential things that we need to live in the environment in which we live, not just survive, but thrive. And so that's where we are going to go. So there's four of them. And the title of my message here is Essentials for Christian Living, right? And so that's what we're going to kind of see. And hopefully, you know, one of these will jump out at you, will jump off the page out at you, and will hit you right in the heart, you know, tonight, and help you out as we live as Christians in a world that has harsh conditions, that have difficult circumstances, many troubles, right? So we're going to dive right in. The first one that we see here is right at the very beginning of chapter 37. And the first one is this: purpose matters. It's important for us to realize that our life, your life, has divine purpose. And you finding that purpose is essential to thriving in God. And so what we see as we start to dig in here to chapter 37 is that Joseph knew early on that his life had a divine purpose. We are introduced to Joseph right at the beginning. He's about 17 years old. And, you know, we know that he helps to tend the flocks that his dad owned with his brothers. We also know that Joseph was his favorite, right? And we saw that. What did he get? He got this amazing coat, and that coat was to signify his importance to Jacob. But beyond all that, that's not his purpose. See, we see his purpose in the dreams that he has. And so as you go a little bit further, we see that he has two dreams in verses 5 through 9. One, he is binding sheaves of grain out in a field with his brothers when suddenly his sheaf rose high above all the other ones, and all the other sheaves of his brothers bowed down. And so that was one. And the other one we see in verse 9, he had another dream where the sun and the moon and the 11 stars bowed down to him. And, you know, again, we can, you know, stop and say, yeah, he shouldn't have told that, he should kill himself. Okay, yeah, but the, you know, purpose beyond all that is he had a divine purpose from God. And his dad and brothers didn't like it, right? They despised him for it, at least his brothers did. But Joseph was being chosen to protect Israel, to protect Jacob's family through a position of authority. He had a purpose. And so and what we have to understand is each and every one of us has a purpose, right? Each and every one of us created by God under the sun, we have a divine purpose. Colossians 1:16 says, "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities." All things, right? Say this: all things have been created through him and for him. All things. That includes you, right? You were created through him and for him, right? And we can read that in Ephesians 2:10. This is another way to look at it. Verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has prepared good works for us in advance to do for Him. And we see that right here in this passage. There was a divine purpose. There was a divine plan. And what we have to understand is purpose really matters. What happens when we don't have it? Well, I saw this quote online. It says, a life without purpose is like a road trip without a destination. Right? When you don't have purpose, you spend a lot of your years of your life trying to find, what am I to do? Why am I here? You know, how am I going to be fulfilled? Right? What's you know, and all those things. But here's the truth. Okay, this is the truth that we see in Joseph and everything else. God has created and saved you for a specific action in which you can dedicate your life to. See, that's what the word purpose means. Purpose means a specific action in which one person can dedicate their life to. God has created you and saved you for that. But sometimes we just have to see it. Joseph saw it through a dream, right? I have faith in God that He can show up in a dream tonight and give you your purpose if you don't know it, if you can't see it. Because it's so important that you have it. But here's the reality, is that He can speak to you through other things. He can speak to you through the Word of God. Your purpose can be seen by what God reveals to your heart and to your life. And it is essential. Essential. And that's what we also see too here about purpose. Even when bad things happen, God still has a purpose for your life. Right? As we follow the story, what do we see? Well, we see that his dad tells Joseph to go check on his brothers, and he travels a little bit away to check in on him, and what? His brothers devise a scheme, right? Well, we're going to get Joseph, but instead of killing him, what was their plan? They stripped him of his robe, they threw him in a cistern, and eventually sold him to some Ishmaelites, right? And where was he transported to? Or as you follow along the story, he is transported to Egypt. Guess what? He was transported exactly where he needed to be to do what God had called him, created him, and saved him to do. And this is what we have to understand when we start to look in the story, is God even used the bad things, the harsh circumstances and conditions to get him to where he needed to be so that he could live out his purpose. What if, okay, what if God is using the things around us, the trials, the troubles, to put us in a position exactly where we need to be for His kingdom? All right, so this is why purpose matters. You see your life start to be lived differently when you realize there's divine purpose in it. And I'm telling you tonight, by God's hand, through His creation, through His salvation, through His Holy Spirit, through His Son, that you have a divine purpose in your life. And that's what we see right at the very beginning here with Joseph. And here's a second one here, right? So as we start to go through his story and see where he goes and what transpires, there's more and more and more that we see. And so we see a second one. Yeah, so just in case you need slides. So God has created you and saved you for a specific action that you can dedicate your entire life to. So there it is. Linda, if you need to fill that out, go ahead and fill that out. So here we go. Here's the second one. I probably will be horrible slides tonight. It's completely fine. And so this is the next one that we see as we get into Genesis 39. And integrity matters. See, as we get into 39, we see that as he's sold and as he's taken to Egypt. And from there, Potiphar, one of the officials of Pharaoh, buys him and sets him to work. And Potiphar noticed something special about him, right? Potiphar noticed that whatever he put him to, he was successful because God was with him. So Potiphar promoted him, putting him in charge of the entire household because of this, you know, that the Lord blessed him in every single thing that he did. So again, integrity is important. See, integrity is the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles. Because I guess what? This was an issue for some of his family. Right? If you go back and remember where we've been, this was an issue for his dad. This is definitely an issue for his brothers. If you just look and see what they did to him, you know, them selling him and then lying to their dad about it. This was an issue. And sometimes was an issue for those who came before him. But guess what? His integrity, his character, his honesty, his moral principles ended up being one of the key things that God used him for. And we see this what? We see his integrity through his temptation. What happens while he's in that house? Okay, well, we know, as it says, that Joseph was well-built and handsome. We see that only two other people in the Old Testament is described exactly like that, David and Absalom. So here's Joseph, well-built and handsome. And we see that Potiphar's wife really took notice of it. And so what'd she do? She asked him to go to bed with him. Right, and not just once, but over and over and over. In verse 10, it describes as saying that she spoke to him every single day. And eventually, it really escalated, right? What happened on one specific day? Well, she came on to him, she grabbed his cloak, and he ran. Why did he run, first of all? Well, he ran because of his faithfulness, and his faithfulness to God and his loyalty to his boss. Right? He was an honest person. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to do whatever I can do. And so when she went after him again to grab his cloak, he left it and he ran. Why? He wasn't running because he was running to remain faithful. Because of his faithfulness with God. And here's what's so amazing about this. And I think I have this in a slide. No matter how many times a cloak was stripped from him, right? Because this wasn't the first time. He was never stripped of his character. Never. He remained faithful to God. Honest. Honest. Why does integrity matter? Well, because God honors those who honor him. I mean, as you go through the story, is that not what you see? And I know what you could say, Steve, but didn't he go to prison, right? How is God honoring him by letting him go to prison? Well, sometimes we suffer for the right choices, don't we? You know, sometimes along the journey we lose friends because who we are holding on to, right? Because we are following God, we lose some people around us who that's contrary to where they are. Or this, maybe sometimes we lose promotions. Oh, I remember before I got into full-time ministry, I was a manager at Old Navy, and I remember, you know, having a yearly review, and they wanted me to become a manager, and they said, hey, you know, we see that you're moving forward, you know, we want to promote you, and they said, but you have to give up Sundays, and you have to give up Wednesdays. That was one thing that me and my wife said we would never, ever do. We would never give up going to church on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday. Our family needed to be there. So we said, no, well, I wasn't promoted because I wouldn't compromise. And again, that's what we see. But here's the one thing here. But the one thing we will never lose if we remain in him is his presence. What is, in chapter 39, a common phrase that you see. In fact, you see it four times. It's this phrase, the Lord was with Jacob. Right? He was put in charge over the house. But yet, he was a man of integrity, so he wouldn't cheat on his boss, and he wouldn't have an affair with his boss's wife. And so he said no, and guess what? She made up a scheme and got him in prison, and they put him in prison, but then guess what? He remained faithful, right? Because he was honest, he was a hard worker, his integrity was seen, he stayed with God, he didn't compromise, and they put him in charge over the prison. Why? Because God was with him. God honors those who honor him. It's so true. We see a third one here. And we see this while he is in prison in Genesis 40 through 41:40. And what we see is his, you know, not only does purpose matter, not only is integrity essential, but our dependence on God is just as essential. And that's what we see here. He's in prison, and it's in this circumstance, right? I mean, what a harsh condition this is. But what happens while in prison? Well, we see after he was in prison for 2 years, again, the prison warden put him over, you know, the prison. A couple other officials join him. So one is the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. But what happens to these key officials while they're in there? And I know that you know the story, but they have dreams, right? They both have a dream. And these dreams came in pairs, as it always does in his story. And they couldn't interpret them. And so how do we see Joseph's dependence on God here? Well, we see it in his response. So when these two other officials had a dream and it troubled him, Joseph found out. And what does he say? He goes up to him and says, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me these dreams." Right? So he responded by saying, "I can't do it, but God can. Nobody else can interpret these dreams. Nobody else can tell you what they mean, but God can." Right? And so he might be in prison. That's where Joseph might be at this moment, but God can still use him there. And so they go on and they express their dreams to him. It starts with the cupbearer, and he tells it to Joseph, and Joseph interprets, and what we learn, that in 3 days, Pharaoh's going to restore the cupbearer to his position. And that's when Joseph says, "Hey, you know, remember me when you go back," right? So Joseph had a feeling that if he depended on God in this moment, that God could set him free. And so the baker heard this and thought, "Hey, that sounds good, so let me share with you mine." But yet his was interpreted completely different. I'm sure that he didn't like it, right? So he tells it to Joseph, and Joseph says, "Okay, you know, we know that the cupbearer was going to be restored, but your story's a little different. Guess what? In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you." Man alive. How would you feel if that was your dream? Oh my gosh. And so how do we know that we can depend on God? How do you know if it worked for Joseph? Well, what happened? Everything that God showed Joseph and that he said came true. God is a dependable God. But that's not the only time it happens, right? You go into chapter 41, and when the cupbearer was gone and he was restored to position, we know that he forgot, right? And so we go into chapter 41, and 2 more years had passed. Pharaoh has a dream of his own, right? Two dreams, again, two dreams. One about cows and one about grain. And he wakes up troubled. He's like, "What in the world does this mean? It's important. There's something divine in it. I have to figure this out." So he searches all the magicians and all the wise men, and nobody could interpret anything. So Pharaoh sends for Joseph. So how, again, can we see Joseph depend on God? Well, look at his response. In 41:16, when Pharaoh asked Joseph if he can do it, listen to what Joseph says. He says, "I cannot do it, but God will give a Pharaoh the answer that he desires." Again, God will do it. "I can't do it, but God can. God can use me in this instance. God can show me in this instance what you need to know so that I can do what he has called me to." He can depend on God. And if anybody has a reason to not depend on God, it's Joseph, because where has it gotten him so far? In a pit? In a prison? Right? But yet, here he is. It didn't change what he knew, that God had the answer. So how do we know that we can depend on God? Well, guess what? Look what happened again. The dream that Pharaoh got was about 7 years of abundance followed by, what, 7 years of famine. It happened just as God revealed it. What God was going to do, showed to Pharaoh, interpreted by Joseph, and that's what happened. God can be depended on. And when we depend on God, it will never return void. So why then? Why should we depend on God? Because even though sometimes we feel forgotten. I think I might have that on the slide. Even though it might feel, sometimes like we are forgotten, God will never forget about us. He won't. Was there a delay? Yeah, 2 years, maybe, you know. But then 2 more years, right? So it didn't happen when he wanted or how he wanted, but that whole time he kept his dependence on God. God could use him at the proper time to do what he needed to do. So what was happening in those 4 years? Well, I don't know. I can't tell you that story, but I can say this. God was working in the lives of Pharaoh, in the lives of Joseph, so that he could provide a place for his people. That's what he was doing. He is the source of every single thing in our lives, and we can trust him. And we can trust his provision. And we can trust his timing. You can trust God's timing. It might not be when you think it is. It might not be right now. There might be a delay, but just stick in there. Stay. Because what we see in Joseph is this. If we depend on God, if we stay connected to God, God is going to show up. We can trust him. Right? Even in the harshest conditions of prison, we can trust him. So at 17 years old, he was given his purpose, and was 13 years later, at the age of 30, that it started to come to pass. Because what did Pharaoh do? Once Joseph shared with him what was going to happen, Pharaoh's like, we need a wise man to be able to take care of this. And so he turned to the person who heard from God to be the one to help get Egypt and the surrounding areas through that famine. So guess what? What was birthed at 17 was coming to pass at 30. We can depend on God. There's a fourth one here. That's what we see toward the latter part of the story. And again, it's hard for me to encompass five chapters, 42 through 47. With one line, but this is what I see over and over this time through it. Forgiveness matters. Right? Forgiveness matters. Another key essential to thriving, not just surviving, is forgiveness. And we see it in a couple ways here. We see it in his forgiveness of his brothers, right? The famine was far-reaching. You know, it happened just like God showed, and it ended up reaching to Jacob and the rest of his sons, and they ran out of food, and they had heard that there was food in Egypt. So 10 sons went to Egypt to look for food, and guess who they come before? They come before Joseph. They don't recognize him, but Joseph recognizes them. And can you imagine how this would have felt? These were the brothers who conspired. These were the brothers who schemed. These were the brothers who threw him in a pit. These were the brothers who wanted to kill him, but instead sold him and then had lied this whole time to their dad. Right? This is it. If there was not a better time than now for vengeance or more than that, for justice, right? Then it was now. But what do we see in that first encounter? You know, we see some testing in it, but what was the eventual deal? If you leave one of your brothers with me and go get your own brother, I'm going to send you home with grain. And not just that, I'm going to give you the grain, I'm going to give you the provision. But also, what did he put in their sacks? The money that they were going to use to pay for it. So they went there, you know, just wanting grain, and he sent them home with even more. That's forgiveness, isn't it? Man, that's grace, isn't it? That we get what we don't deserve. But yet, we don't just see it there. We see it in other spots. They have to return, right? As you follow the story, they ran out of food again. They had to go get more. They knew where they had to go. They had to go back to the man who made them, you know, leave one brother behind. And they knew that they were going to have to, you know, bring the younger, so that's what they decided to do. But this time something happens, right? When they go back and they present themselves to Joseph again, you know, to make a long story short, which is an awesome story, Joseph eventually reveals himself to Judah, to Benjamin, and to Simeon. And listen to his words. 45:4. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead. Okay, there was no accusations. There was no hand-wringing. Just forgiveness. He didn't hold anything against them. He didn't take this as the opportunity to get revenge. He extended forgiveness, realizing that God's hand was in it. Forgiveness is essential. And we also see forgiveness from God here, right? I mean, look from the brother's perspective. When they first came before Joseph, and Joseph started to test them, right? He accused them of being spies, saying, leave, you know, one of your brothers here in prison, you know, or all those things. What did the brother say? Well, Reuben said, didn't I tell you not to sin against the boy? But you wouldn't listen, right? This is all happening because of what we did to Joseph or our brother. So what they thought was their punishment. This is the powerful aspect of it. What they thought was their punishment was actually their salvation. What they thought was their punishment was actually their salvation. God did this to save them. Right? Forgiveness is a release or a dismissal of something. It's a deliberate act of love, mercy, and grace. It's refusing, you know, refusing to do it, refusing to extend forgiveness means that you demonstrate bitterness and anger and resentment. And none of those things, all those things are contrary to the traits of a growing Christian, right? But here's on display exactly what we need to see. Joseph extended forgiveness because he knew God was using him. He knew God was behind this, that God, you know, could use him beyond anything else that was happening around him. So when it came time, he extended forgiveness. See, forgiveness, it's essential for us moving forward with God and for us growing into who he has called us to be. Forgiveness is essential. It's essential to salvation. Right? We are forgiven. We are given what we do not ever deserve. And this is what we see here. The same thing. God saved a people through purpose, through integrity, through a dependence on him, and through forgiveness. Right? Israel came, said, you know, Jacob and all his descendants, they settled in Goshen. And then we know the story from there. They grew as a people there. God extended forgiveness. So, or as we close, right? And again, there's more. You know, if we got a bag and we, you know, pulled out all these essential things, there's more. But yet, here's a few reminders as we close. For each and every one of us, there is a divine purpose for your life. And as we can see in the story, we don't have to let the circumstances of life strip us of our integrity. And we can depend on him because he will never forget where we are at and where he is wanting us to go. And each and every step, we can walk with forgiveness. Right? There's some powerful lessons, and this is why God has set you up to thrive. Not just to survive. He has given you the essentials that you need. And we are thankful for it tonight. Amen. So come on, let's pray. Father, we come, we thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are. God, I pray that you be with us, Lord. God, you have given us everything, God. And I pray that we can see it, that we can experience it, that we can realize that, God, you have a divine purpose for our life, that, God, we can stick with you, we can hold firm, we don't have to compromise. God, that we can completely depend. depend on you. And God, we can extend the forgiveness that you have gave to us. And God, these are essential to us growing and moving forward. God, and for you using us the way that you want to use us. God, help us to see that tonight. I pray a blessing over each one of us. Have your way in us. Let your word continue to come alive in us. God, we pray, even in the circumstances in which we are living, God, you have a plan and a purpose and can give us what we need to live those out. We thank you for it. Be with us now as we conclude. In Jesus' name, amen.